when I moved here was a temporary job, I guess, as they called it then, contracting. And it was interesting. I went to a company, helped them out for a few months, learned a lot of things, and found that I really liked that that type of independence of being able to jump in.
From the jshulman.com studio, this is the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast. Now, your host, Jay Shulman.
Hey, it's Jay, and welcome to Season 2 of Building a Life and Career in Security podcast, the podcast where you get to hear other information security professionals' career journey. If you'd like to keep up to date on the podcast, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. And don't worry, it just captures your email, not your phone number. Nobody's going to be texting you. This week on the podcast, we have Robert Hurlbut. Robert has been an independent security consultant for a number of years and talks about life working for yourself, as well as his focus on combining development with security. Here's Robert's journey.
So when I got started, I was really interested in technical things. I guess going back a while back, I was originally a physics and math major, and I actually thought I was going to go into academia. At least that was the path that seemed most clearest to me. But while I was working in college, and I was working during college, I worked with a small government office and doing some data entry and other kinds of computer tasks. And I quickly figured out how to turn those kinds of tasks, data entry and so forth, into something that can be done much quicker through programming. It was just scripts that I was writing at the time, but I really enjoyed it. And so I went back into my degree program. I actually changed from physics to math and a minor in computer science. And as soon as I got out of college, I actually went right into software instead and got my first software job writing some C, C++ applications for a company, and pretty much went from there on and didn't really look back to academia anymore. I've always been interested in and continue to be interested in physics and math and all the interesting problems there because it is my background. But computers and software have really been the place that I've spent my career. So I went from there at that particular company to a few other companies over the years, and enjoyed it. I enjoyed working in development, and that's where my start was, and that's my focus and where it has been for a number of years is in software. I've been a developer. I've been a an architect. I've been a project manager. I've been a director of application development, a team of developers. I've been tech lead. I've been, you know, a little bit of everything in a lot of different teams. But one thing that was interesting over my career is that I moved from the Midwest where I grew up to the New England area, which I have been at now for nearly 20 years. And one of the first jobs that I found when I moved here was a temporary job, I guess, as they called it then, contracting. And it was interesting. I went to a company, helped them out for a few months, learned a lot of things, and found that I really liked that that type of independence of being able to jump in, learn some things. I found that was one of the things I could do and have been able to do for years is learn things very quickly and spend some time to learn things pretty deeply as well and get my hands dirty and try to figure out what's going on. And so I really have made a career of that, of being an independent consultant. At that time, I was just kind of bouncing around from place to place, but after a while, I did form my own company, still independent, but got more of a presence in it. I did also spend a few years working for a consulting company and learned a lot from that in terms of working with companies at a business level, and that also helped me individually later. So it wasn't just technical, but it was also working with the business and working with people who are making the decisions and how to communicate with them. And so out of all of that, in the last, especially last 10, 15 years, I have struck out on my own again in my own independent consulting company and have been, I think overall pretty successful. There have been some highs and lows, but overall it's been good. So that's my software story. Where security comes into play and where my focus has been really for the last 12 years is about 12 years ago when I was working on a project at a company on contract for a few years, actually, at the time, working on some web applications, some mobile applications. And I came across a book by Gary McGraw called Building Security In. And I, way back when, used to do some C, C++. Hadn't done that for a few years at that time. That in particular, that job in particular was a Microsoft.net. We were doing some web apps and other things. But one of the things I noticed in Gary McGraw's book was this whole notion of not thinking about security after the fact, but really just building it in from the very beginning and thinking about the security, the application security aspect at the beginning of the project and throughout, and how to think strategically that way. And that really, again, that really made a big impression on me. And so I took the ideas, and started talking with other people at the company that I was working at on contract, my team, and said, you know, let's have some lunch and learns, and let's just kind of talk about this for a little bit. And so we'd gather together, and I would mention, okay, you know, here's some of the latest web vulnerabilities out there that we may not be protecting against. We need to look at our code a little bit closer. Here's some other secure code strategies that we may need to think about with our code. And so that just kind of evolved into eventually a presentation that I was putting together. And somebody else suggested, well, why don't you, you know, present that somewhere? And it just so happened that there was a code camp nearby in the Boston area that had, well, actually one of the regional code camps. And I said, yeah, why not? And so I submitted a proposal, and with code camps, they accept pretty much all of them because they want good speakers to come in, or any speakers to come in initially. And so I came in and gave two or three talks on security topics. And then that really got my that part of my career started in terms of speaking at user groups and conferences and other places, and just sharing, you know, what I'd learned and try to help other developers. And it also helped me get more involved with the community, whether it's developers or other security people. Although at that time, I wasn't that involved with other security people. I thought I was kind of an odd duck out there, where there weren't many of us who were interested in application security. So I was one of the lone voices, if you will, at some of the conferences, developer conferences, speaking about security, because not very many were. And I didn't even know there were other security people who were interested in this stuff. So I more or less, my circles were only developers, other developers, and we were talking about security. Move ahead a few years, around 2008 or 2009, I actually kind of went into just doing some work and I dropped out of the scene of conferences for a little bit until a few years ago, and started speaking again. I said, you know, I really want to share some new stuff. I've been working heads down for a couple of years. I really want to get back out and share some new things that I'm learning. And so that's kind of where I am now in the last couple of years. I've been speaking and connecting with other people, this time more security people, which is interesting. There was a time, like I said, where it didn't seem like there were very many people interested in application security. when I came back and looked around, I said, oh, there's actually a few more people that are interested, which is great. And so I've made some great connections over the last couple of years of other people who are more and more interested in application security. And in particular, one of my big interests for the last 10 years has been threat modeling. And so that's something I've been speaking on and speaking to other people who do that. And it's been great. So that's been a lot of my focus in the last few years, especially, is just trying to tie both development staff, development people with security people, and being able to speak to both groups. And so kind of live on a little bit on both sides still. In the last couple of years, I've spoken at B-Sides, I've spoken at OWASP conferences. So more security conferences, not just developer conferences. And so that's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been challenging. But I've always enjoyed it, just to get out and talk about those topics. In my own work life, independent, being an independent consultant, I'm still doing that. And what I find I do these days, I still do some development, but more than anything else, I find opportunities to work with companies directly and teams directly about helping those teams, development teams and so forth, to think about security. So sometimes not as much development, but I still like to tinker and keep sharp on the latest development trends.
So it's amazing how many people have been influenced by Gary's book over the years. And in fact, I know of one company that did a book club around his book to kind of get the development teams to understand, you know, the building security and methodology. So you read the book 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've gone back and thought about it. People often refer to it as a timeless book. Has building security in changed at all in the past 12 years?
I don't think much. I think it applied. I mean, it did apply to some environments that we may not work in as much. For example, it was a lot of focus on C++, a lot of focus on environments where memory and memory management is a huge issue. And if you're working in, for example, environments like Java or .NET or anything like that, where a lot of your memory issues are more or less managed for you by the framework that you're working in, then some of those things kind of go away. For example, the thing I remember most about the book was the talks about buffer overflows and how to deal with those. And that's one thing you find, that when you move into those managed frameworks, those things become less of an issue. And so that's one thing, but that's still timeless to me, because depending on where and when you are in those environments where that's an issue, it still applies. But that's just one thing, and I remember out of the book. The bigger issues, the bigger aspects of the book in terms of thinking about security strategically and all the way throughout the life cycle of your project, your product, I think, again, it's timeless. And I haven't read the book through in a while, but I still think about it, and I still think about the influence it had on me, and I still think of it as a timeless book.
So my background, I started off in networks and got into security and eventually into the application security world, and you come from the exact opposite, starting off in development, writing code, and eventually got to that same place that we both work in. How can security people and developers work better together? You know, if you think back to the 12 years when you kind of got this inkling of security, is it learning about it sooner? What is it that kind of helps connect the two dots?
Well, I think one thing in terms of communication between the two is that you'll find the commonalities. For example, I know for myself with software development, and I know a lot of others that were the same mindset, is that we do want to write good code. We want to write code that performs well. We want to write code that is hopefully easy to maintain, especially for developers who say, you know, I may be back at this thing 6 months later, or somebody else may follow me and I'll get a call in the middle of the night saying, I have no idea what this does. I don't want that call. I want to write code that I can understand, somebody else can understand. And so those are some general goals of developers. I think that for a security person, understanding from their perspective, we want a system that's secure. We want a system that tells us if there's been any breaches and we catch it early. We want things to work well. We want things to make sense. So there's some commonality there. And if you can talk on that level, you know, I want your code to work well too. I want your code to perform well. I also want your code to be secure, because that actually, in the end, makes your code work even better in many cases. You know, writing it in a thoughtful way wins for everybody. And so understanding that there are some commonalities in terms of we want the best out of our work. How can we both approach it that way as a team to build, you know, the best that what we have and what we're using? So to me, that's one thing. It's just the communication and understanding, you know, what do we have in common and how can we both reach those goals? I think is important.
That's fantastic advice and approach. So one of the things that I've realized is that there aren't enough developers that want to focus on security. And so if you could think back to developers that you've met and potentially got them to move into the security field, what advice do you have? Why should a developer want to be an application security professional? Kind of give the pitch here as to why it's something that you'd want to do.
Well, I can think about in my own experience when I've been on some teams where they hired me not as a security person but as a developer, but I always had, especially in the last number of years, I've had a perspective of I need to think about security here, is that, again, I would think about, you know, does my code work correctly? And how do you define correctly? Does it meet the requirements? Does it? Can I test it and verify that all the edge cases work correctly, or it succeeds where it should, but also when you give it failure conditions, it succeeds as well. And so the way I would communicate that to a person is that someone needs to think about, or a developer needs to think about, a lot of the different edge cases. What happens if somebody tries to inject something bad into this field? What will it do? And a developer says, well, you know, nobody would normally do that. I said, but that's the thing. They would. They could. And you need to test for that. And then move to the next level to say, that's actually part of what security is. It's not just building it for, you know, to limit what we can do, but it's also to protect against what could go wrong and handle it appropriately, handle it correctly. And what I find is that when a developer starts to think that way and starts thinking about the edge cases, it turns out that they say, hey, you know, this is actually kind of fun. It's like a puzzle. And I know myself and several others that I've met as well, if we like puzzles in our development where we've got to solve a problem, we've got to figure out a better way to do this, or a new way to do this, or a way that makes sense. And here's something new. Here's something that I can do that with, where I'm trying to solve some interesting problems here. And security is one of those issues that we need to solve, and how we write the code, how we design the code. And I find that and not everybody is interested in that, but what I find is that those who are interested in solving problems, those who are thinking about the edge cases, those who are thinking about, you know, what happens if somebody tries to use the system in the way that's not intended. How do I react to that? I find those are the people that are all of a sudden come up to the point where it makes it obvious. They're the ones who may be interested in security because that's exactly what they're doing. They're starting to head that direction. They may not know what it's called, but that's where they're heading and say, well, actually, that's what security is we're trying to solve some of these interesting problems. Because ultimately it's humans that use these applications many times in ways we don't necessarily intend for good or bad, and we need to deal with it. So that's how I would identify and have identified is who are the problem solvers? Who are the ones who are interested in edge cases? Who are the ones who are thinking about how can I make sure this works flawlessly, even when it's failing, failing fast, failing safely. You know, who are those people who are interested in that? Those are usually the ones who can make a really good jump to application security.
It's really interesting to compare what will be last week's episode, where somebody, Christopher, used a comparison to origami as that kind of puzzle and problem-solving piece as well. So I think you've hit on something there. Let's completely change directions, and you know, I come from a consulting background, and many people in the consulting space talk about going independent. I don't need to work for a big company anymore. I could do it all myself. If you could think back, and I know you've had a great experience being an independent consultant, but what was it like when you first kind of broke off from the corporate world? Was it easy to get started? Was it a struggle?
Well, it's funny. The way I started was actually at the company that I was working as on contract, and then they said, we would like to deal with you directly, and I was at a good place where I could do that. So I was able to make the transition, not as just an independent, flying around freely, but also as my own company, representing myself directly. I had that kind of a cushion, so that I wasn't just jumping out there in the deepest part of the pool and hope I didn't drown. I actually had a company here that wanted to work with me, and they did for the next year and a half, which was great. So that allowed me to kind of build things along with building relationships with them, and then figuring out my own patterns of how do I get some other projects going, and how do I balance the different aspects of that. So that really helped. But there are other times when I've completed a project and it may be a certain time of the year where there are not a lot of other projects coming in. And one of the things being an independent is, and you learn very quickly, is that if you're not working, you're not getting paid and you're not eating either. And so you have to market yourself. You do have to get out there and meet people and find out what they're doing. And also sometimes you may even have to reinvent yourself a little bit in terms of, and that's true of any developer, anybody who's in business or working for a company as well, is that you do have to think about, well, what's the next thing? What are people working on and what do I want to work on? But I find as an independent, that's something I've had to do probably more so than maybe some others who are in a corporate environment, is that people hire me as an independent because I have some expertise or I have a particular viewpoint, a direction that maybe somebody within their own organization doesn't have, and that's why they're hiring. So therefore, I have to build that into my own list of skills and market it as such and so forth. So, it's at times challenging, but to me, it's also been a lot of fun because I do enjoy learning new things. I do enjoy learning to a great degree about different topics, not just skim them, but try to learn as deeply as I can so that I can be effective. But also it helps me then to market those skills out there to others and be of benefit to others.
So I definitely want to pick up on this topic again, but let's jump to the two questions that I ask everybody. The first question being, what is a decision that you really agonized about, but it turned out really well for you?
Yeah, well, this one is interesting. And it's not even something that just one time, there's several times, but occasionally it kind of relates to my independent consulting work. Occasionally I do think about, you know, what if I didn't go that way? What if I did stay in a corporate job? And I've had a few where I've been there a few years and it worked well. I enjoyed it, but I've always enjoyed being independent more. And so I'm not sure if agonizing was the right word there, but certainly at times it could be scary to think that, well, what happens when the low times come? It's nice and great when everybody's busy, I'm busy, everybody's busy, and the economy's good and all that. But there are other times when it's not been that, and it's a struggle. I remember back in 2000 or so, the bubble bursting, and you know, oh, now I got to figure out where am I going to go, and you know, took quite a hit, and did work full time for a company, and dropped the whole independent thing because it's just it wasn't able to make it happen, and so that's probably the one I agonize most over. But overall, it's been really successful to be independent, and I haven't regretted that.
So far we've heard all good things. You've had the perfect career. Nothing has ever gone wrong. Can you talk about, you know, I'm sure something in there you'd want to do over. Is there a point in your career that if you had the opportunity, you'd do it differently?
Well, you know, in terms of a do over, I think that one of the things I would do is that, or would have done maybe differently. I've been mostly technical throughout my career. I have focused on development, architecture, helping developers, so on and so on. And that's all been great. And I've also dealt with businesses, and I know how to communicate, I know how to speak and all that, and I love it. One thing I haven't done as much is writing. And I find that I'm now at a place in my career where I need to write more. I find that in, you know, report writing, I find that in other kinds of things that I need to write. And writing is not necessarily my favorite thing. I did take technical writing, and I know how to write. And you know, for the most part, I can do it well, but I don't necessarily like it. And so I think to myself, you know, that's something I wish I had made a part of. And if I had known this earlier, would have made it a part of just my everyday part of my career of writing, whether it be a blog, and I do have a blog and I've written it into it over the years off and on, but not as frequently. And there was a time when I didn't write much into it at all for a while. But I would say that would be one thing that I would do over, is include writing much earlier on and make it a habit much earlier on in my technical career. That would have paid off now, where I'm now kind of forced to pick it up and make it a new habit that I wish I had earlier, and it would have, you know, helped in terms of, you know, just being able to put things in writing. So that's one thing I think I would have liked to have done. I feel like I'm late to the game on this a little bit, not too much, but a little. Because I find myself needing to write more and more for reports and other kinds of things. And it's something that I would have liked to have done a little bit more earlier on.
Thanks for bringing that out. I think, you know, my stock answer oftentimes is, hey, what do I need to focus on? I often say communications, of which, you know, you talk about how you get up and speak all the time and probably would check that box. But so many people do have forgotten the lost art, so to speak, of writing. So I want to close with one final question related to you being an independent consultant. And again, kind of with this idea that a lot of people out there are thinking about being an independent consultant. What advice would you give? What are the things that somebody should think through before making the leap into the independent consultant space?
Well, I think that one of the things they have to, well, several things that they have to think about is that, one, are they able to manage their own time, manage their own environment? Because if they're looking for someone to hand that all to them, that may not happen. they need to be, you know, pretty good about that. Managing finances, I think it's always important, especially before you get started on your own, is to put some money back. I know there's some figures out there, a month or 2 months worth of salary, something like that. I always say I think it's a great idea if you haven't put that in place before you took out on your own. Definitely do that. The other thing I would say is, make good contacts with people. Don't just wait until you get out and then start making contacts. Always continue to make contacts even while you're in the corporate world, because one thing I have found is that I get a lot of my great jobs, great contracts, great projects from people I've made contacts with. When I go cold calling, which I don't do it that often, or I get a call out of the blue, somebody looking for someone, have not always been the best way to find things. What I found the best way to find things is because I've already made contacts with some people, and now they know I'm looking, and they get me in touch with some great projects, or they already have a project, and they say, "Hey, I just thought about you. Are you available?" I say, "Actually, I am coming available in a couple months." And so I would say that, make some contacts and keep them up to date on what you're doing. And, hey, I'm thinking about going out on my own. Do you know of anybody looking? That can do wonders to get you some work.
Absolutely. Can't underplay the value of your network. And speaking of networking, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they reach you and find you?
Well, a couple of ways. My website is roberthurlbut.com. And then also on Twitter, I actually post there quite a bit more than my blog these days, but Robert Hurlbut is my Twitter handle.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Robert. I'd love hearing his perspective on being a successful information security consultant. If you listened to my story a few episodes back, one of my options was to go out on my own as an independent consultant, and Robert's comments were very helpful in making me think through that. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. Thank you, and talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast with Jay Shulman. For more information and to subscribe, go to jshulman.com.